Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 15, Avatot and Amatot. First half, the Book of Scriptures, chapter 1 of the Epitoph. Excerpt from sermon by Wanderer Karelian Sota, YC105.
Now it came to pass, in the third day of the first month of the 10th year of the rule of Emperor Amashakura, that the midday deliberations were abruptly brought to a halt when the day darkened in the sky. And the sun went black as night, and birds fell from the sky, and flowers shriveled in the field, and people fell sick in the streets and in the houses. And in this moment of terrible distress, the skies opened with a loud shriek, and angels, bright as the sun was black, descended down to earth, and their beauty soothed all the people and the animals alike. And when the angels touched the ground with their feet, the earth shook violently, and fire engulfed those daring too near these divinities. Their power being mighty, and their presence potent, the people were wise not to look too closely upon them. The emperor came from his high seat with his retinue to meet with the angels outside the city walls. And lo and behold, the moment the emperor passed below the city gates, the sun cleared and shone as brightly as ever before, all in the glory of the emperor and the heavenly angels that called upon him. The angels spoke the language of God and called themselves Sephirim, those that guard the high seats of heaven. God ordered them here to protect the emperor against all evils that ever beset him. The Sephirim offered unto the emperor a present from God, as one brother to another, Amatot, the scepter, and Avatot, the crown, showing the great pleasure God had in the earthly work of the emperor. And thus the Sephirim came to serve the illustrious Amashakura, to stay by his side during the day and guard his sleep during the night. A great house of white stone and marble was built for the Sephirim to reside in, and were tended by the best servants the empire had to offer. For 100 years, while the Sephirim watched over the empire, no wars or epidemics or famines ruined the lands, and the people were content and joyous. From Istha in the north, and Melikeld in the south, and Edras in the east, and from Iphiria in the west, people came to pray before the holy Sephirim and receive a blessing to take home to their families. The Sephirim stood tall and beautiful, clad in their white and amber robes, with masks of gold and silver to protect the people from being struck dead by their angelic beauty. And all this time the Emperor Amashakura did not age one day, and was as healthy as strong as the day he came of age. The scepter gave him vigor, and the crown gave him acumen, and his rule was wise and fair. Then Moloch the deceiver sundered the lands, and the people suffered floods and plagues conjured by him. Moloch turned the people against the Sephirim, and people who once sang their praise now abhorred them. The emperor saw that all was not good, and summoned the Sephirim and said unto them, "The people are in great distress. What remedies dost thee have?" And the Sephirim answered, "My lord, the land has split against thou. Thou must make war upon thine enemies to reclaim what is justly thine." And the emperor asked, "Will thee aid us in this perilous endeavor?" But the Sephirim answered, "No, my lord, we are here only to guide and guard. It is forbidden for us to aggress upon any man." "Then be gone," the emperor said in anger, for his foes were formidable. And the Sephirim, no longer in the emperor's favor, returned to whence they came that very day. And the moment they left, the sun went black, and the people cried in anguish, for this was an evil omen. And that night God spake unto Emperor Amashakura in his sleep, "Thy folly is great, Amashakura. Thou hast rejected those I sent to thee in thine hour of need. Thou must redeem thyself to me by thine own merits." And next day Amashakura had aged all his days, and his hair was white and his skin wrinkled. But his spirit was high and his will resolute. God had charged him to take back his empire. For 5 years Amashakura battled his enemies, wielding the scepter and the crown, and triumphed in the end. The day after Moloch the deceiver was brought before him in chains and sacrificed on the altar of God, the emperor died in his bedchamber, his task fulfilled. And that night the sky turned red, and the people were again happy that God was content with them and the new emperor.
Second half, discussion of the epitaph, excerpt from address to students at Center for Advanced Studies by Professor Gerard Cromwell, YC 107. The chapter in the Book of Scriptures known as the Epitaph dates back more than 6,000 years to the time when the Amarians were still a fledgling nation on the planet Athra, later renamed Amar Prime, once the Amarians had conquered it completely. The story of the Sephirim and Amatat and Avatat has fascinated scholars for ages. The first chapter of the Epitaph is the oldest text containing information about the Sephirim and is also in many ways the most detailed. It describes their arrival and departure, as well as their appearance. In later texts, the Sephirim are only mentioned as mythical creatures and servants of the Amar god and emperor. But there are in existence fragments of texts from various sources that speak of the gifts of Sephirim, singular form Seph, the Amatat and the Avatat, or the scepter and the crown. These fragments not only support the truth of the story, at least up to a point, but they also contain information regarding what happened to the items. The scepter and the crown, described as made of incredibly lightweight metal, yet also very strong. No surviving manuscripts give any exact information about their function, other than they allow the user to wield the power of God and harvest the knowledge of creation. There are more facts that support this story. Astronomical data shows that 2 solar eclipses occurred in the space of 101 years in the same time period as the text was, accurately established, written in. Both of these eclipses were caused by the large planet Zoroast, the next planet between Amar Prime and the Sun, and it is worth noting that none of the Amar Prime moons are large enough to create anything more than hardly noticeable solar eclipses. The first of the Zoroast solar eclipses created full umbra on Amar Island, while in the latter the island was only in the penumbra of the eclipse. What is more, 5 years after the later eclipse, a huge asteroid hit the gaseous Zoroast while the planet was well aligned with Amar Prime, an event that was undoubtedly spotted on Amar Island. Going back to Amatat and Avatat, these 2 items remained in the Emperor's family for 4 centuries when they inexplicably disappeared. In one of the last texts to mention it, a report made by the Amar Court Chamberlain, it is stated that despite their age, not one blemish or rust spot is to be found on them. Despite numerous red herrings and fabrications through the ages, as well as many methodical searches, the real scepter and crown have never been recovered. This concludes today's reading of Episode 15, Avatat and Amatat. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in learning more about the rich history of the EVE universe, please visit the EVE Chronicles site at community.eveonline.com/background/POTW. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. No Templars were harmed during the making of this show.